do here, what you've already done in our midst. Father, I ask that you'd open our ears to be able to hear you in a clear way tonight. Lord, without your anointing on our ears, our spiritual ears, we simply are deaf. So I ask for that tonight, that our ears would be open to be able to hear you clearly. Father, also I ask that our spiritual eyes would be opened up, Lord, to be able to see you in the Spirit. Lord, so many times we go out in our lives and we don't hear you and we don't see you. But it says in your word that you only did the things that you saw the Father doing. And so, Lord, we ask you in your name that you'd open up our spiritual eyes tonight to be able to see you in a greater dimension. Father, I thank you for those who have come here tonight. Lord, I believe that every gathering is a divine appointment for many people, Lord. I ask that your word would be in my mouth, not my word, but your word, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would leave here changed, and more importantly, Lord, that we would leave here filled up to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Father, we're believing for a filling in this place, Lord God, and in your body, in this earth, Lord God. Like you said in your word, that you'll pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, Lord. But in this revival that's on the horizon that we're already in and is about to be released in a greater dimension, Lord, we need your boldness. We need your boldness to be able to proclaim your word and to be able to share with those that are weary. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God is so good. Well, thank you for coming tonight. I don't know if anybody can hear you, but... Oh. Yeah, it's interesting you say it, because I was thinking the other day that I've been in some worship. I'm ringing a little bit up here. Do you, is that better? That's better. Thank you. I like to pick on Lewis a little bit. But I was saying, you know, I was thinking the other day that, you know, it's amazing to me that, you know, that when children start to actually enter in, you know, then you really know that the Spirit of God is moving, you know, and so... Years ago, we'd have some worship, and the kids would be up front with their tambourines and everything. And, you know, they weren't exactly on beat, but you could tell that they were being moved by the Spirit. So thank you for sharing that. Amen. Well, if you've got your Bibles with you, turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation 19. As I was sitting there waiting to hear from the Lord on what to teach tonight, he was speaking to me pretty clearly. It dropped the message in very quickly, which I was thankful for, because it's not always like that. Sometimes you have to wait, you know, for God to speak. You know, sometimes you're just, you know, this doesn't come. And you have to just kind of sit and get before him until he finally releases it. But this one came in quick. And it's interesting, because I was thinking, I always wondered what crowd was going to come tonight, because a lot of times the word that you get is for specific people that come. So if I would submit to you that maybe what I'm going to say tonight maybe is for you. Amen? So just can't keep that back of your mind, okay? I just want to give you a word, bro. I said that you look familiar to me. But I see a teacher inside of you. God has dropped inside of you the teacher, the voice of the teacher. And there's an authority that God's going to be placed on you in the days to come. You're going to be able to speak with a greater dimension, a greater authority, because you've asked for more. Because you're seeking God for more, especially in the area of wisdom, God says, I give that to you. You know, Solomon, you know, he asked for a lot of things. But he asked for wisdom because he knew that he needed it, because of the task that was before him. And so the vision that God's placed in your life, even since a young man, is unfolding. And it's going to come in a quicker way, because there's obviously God placing you in a stream. It's like a rushing stream. It's going to take you to your destination a lot quicker than you think. So be prepared. These messages that God is giving you, write them down, whatever you got to do, record them, or however you got to do, because they're going to come up again.
And God wants you to be prepared because there's many people that need to hear what you have to say. Because the word that you speak is going to reach their hearts. It'll be like a pinpoint that's going to reach right into their hearts. It's going to really bless them. So I just want to encourage you in Jesus' name. Amen. Does that mean something to you? Praise the Lord.
God's so good. Anyway, in Revelation 19, verse 11, it says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress on the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a picture of Jesus. It's a different picture than we have of him being on the cross. I think it's important that the body of Christ and all of those that are ministers, everybody in here is a minister. You may not think of yourself that way, but you are. You're called to do something. You're sent in the earth to do something specific. And when you stand before the Lord, he's not going to bring up your sins because he's forgotten them. Right? That's why he went to the cross. He has the power to forget. You're going to hear me say that a lot here because I believe that many people in the body of Christ need to call that power up within them and they forget.
That's right.
Now don't keep the files. Amen? Delete. But he will not bring that up. But he will bring up, did you do what I sent you in the earth to do? When he calls your name out, opens up the book, you hear your name before all heaven, what a day that will be. To hear your name come off the lips of Jesus. And did you do what I sent you in the earth to do? And you can't go to him now because I said it tonight. You cannot go to the Lord and say, I didn't know I had a mission. I didn't know I was going to be before you because you heard it tonight. So you can't have him. You have no excuse. And the reason why I'm saying that to you is because I believe this God, Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is powerful. And he wants to call us to attention, as a general would call us to attention. And he's gathering us all over this earth right now. There's a gathering. That's why we're calling this a gathering. And as I shared last week when I came back from South Africa, my second place, I was in church in the morning, but this in the evening I was another place. And I sat up and I sat in this room, and the guy gets up and says, welcome to the gathering. And he had, and I looked around, I saw apostles, I saw prophets, I saw all these different giftings. This is what Jesus is doing. He is gathering together his ministers so that he may fill us up, overflowing with the Holy Spirit, that we might go out from this place and do the deeds of God. Amen. Not try to gather people just for us and our own little institutions. And, you know, all we've been doing in churches is taking the ground that our buildings sit on. God wants us to go out. So you have ministries, and when you go out from this place, I'm believing that God is going to put across your paths people that need to hear what's in your mouth. That God might fill you up here, that you might pour out when you go out there. And I'm believing for God to come and visit us with such a dimension, as my brother was singing, that the glory of God would manifest to such an extent in this place, it would shake the very ground as it did in the book of Acts. Why not believe for that? So if you would, I would submit to you that when you come here, if you come here again or whatever, that you come here believing that because I'm believing that. Why? Because we need it. You know, it says in the scripture that Jesus, when he prayed, he was praying to the Father in such a way that things that he needed to be able to minister. We need to speak like my brother there. I was sharing with him. You know, what are we asking the Lord for? Are we just getting before him to try to deal with our lives and the things around us? Are we getting before him and saying, I need this tool to be able to do what you sent me here to do. I need it. There's nothing wrong with earnestly desiring the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But if that's not burning inside of you, if that fire is not inside of you, you've got to get a belly full of fire. And I pray that tonight that will fall inside of you, that you leave here tonight motivated, not by emotion, but motivated by the power of the Holy Spirit that's working already within you, that the wind that is in here through the equipping ministries would blow on the coal that God placed inside of you and cause it to ignite. Because that's what you need to be, is on fire. You know, Jeremiah said that, you know, people talked about the people of God that had broken cisterns that couldn't hold water. You got to get a place, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a broken heart. There's nothing wrong with having a downtime. So I'm not trying to put anybody down here. But all I'm saying is that God wants us to be whole, that we can hold that water that he wants to pour out on us. There's a difference. Sometimes, you know, working with athletes, you know, they get an injury or this or that. A lot of those people, they just would, you know, well, yeah, I'm hurt, but I'm going to be fine tomorrow. But that's who they were. They wanted to get the job done, and we've got to be like that. We have to have a sense of urgency to get in line with what the Holy Spirit is doing this earth, to get in line and to hear with our spiritual ears and to be able to see what he's doing in the Spirit. Do you know that God wants you to see what he's doing? Do you know he wants you to be able to see just like Jesus saw? He saw what he saw the Father doing. Do you realize that he wants to show you things to come? Can you believe for that? Have you ever had that experience? I'm telling you, saints, that here tonight, if you haven't had it, God wants to do those things through you. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be anybody. You just got Jesus inside of you. That's who's in you. When he manifests, he is the one that does it. It's amazing to me. I'm blown away by the Lord all the time. He constantly does things. Always, just every day. So to be motivated shouldn't be an issue, right? Well, I'm going to talk tonight about judgment because I know that's what you want to hear about, right? You know, how many messages do you hear about judgment? No, let's not talk about judgment. I'm going to talk about judgment in two ways. I'm going to talk about judgment and say that God is a judge. First of all, Jesus is our Savior, right? He's a perfect Savior. Very thorough. Well, he's also a judge. And he's a perfect judge. And he's very thorough. It says that nothing is hidden from him. That when he looks at you and looks at me, he knows the very thoughts that we've had from the beginning to the end of our lives. Can you imagine how powerful God is? To know that, just to have that all going around and that big, glorious mind of his. And yet he loves us. So he's just as perfect as judge. I was reading something on Facebook today. This one guy likes to throw stuff up, so everybody, you know, gets involved and you have to tell you to stir the pot, you know. And this one guy gets up and says, well, judgment's already happened. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, there was judgment on the cross. I agree with that, but my God, I read your Bible. He's coming back as judge. He's not coming back to take sides. He's coming back to take over. Amen? So just know that God still judges today. And he judges, I've seen him judge things in my life, but I've seen him judge things in other people's lives. I've seen him judge the nations. He's judging this nation. Hello? Amen. So we're going to talk about judgment tonight. Let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 1. And a couple things about the judge. It says in the scripture that judgment begins where? In the house of God. So that means, and we know this because in the book of Revelations, what does Jesus do? He assesses the churches, doesn't he? He assesses the churches. And he looks at them, and one says, well, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're lukewarm, so I spit you out of my mouth. There are things in there, and you read that, how he judged the churches, they're pretty severe. And then he gets to the Philadelphia church, and judgment wasn't so much on them because they were a church of love. But he says the reason why they were to escape the trials that were going to come upon the earth because they learned his lesson of patient endurance. Read that in the scriptures. That's how they avoided the trials that were going to come upon the earth. He said, I will spare you from those trials if you learn my lesson of patient endurance. In case you hadn't noticed. That's what's coming at every one of us. We must embrace that teaching from our Lord, because that is worldwide right now. If you look at your life and really examine it and really look at it closely, you are being trained in patient endurance. Those two things together. Why? Because you're waiting upon the Lord. You have to endure the things that are coming around you. Some of us are coming, you have 15 trials going on this week. And if you don't have a trial, then
don't say anything. Because you know when the trial comes, you know what that means? That means he's conforming you into his image. That's why it says count it all joy when you encounter various trials. Knowing that, it's producing, he's conforming to his image to a perfect person. Read the scripture. So when you look at joy, joy is not a feeling. Joy is a power. And the power gets released, the power of joy gets released when you embrace the fact that this trial is conforming you into his image, so expectation is now released, because now this is a good thing, because that's my goal. I want to be like my hero, Jesus. Right? And I'll share that 1,000 more times, I'm sure, but there's some in here that haven't heard that. So let's go to Jeremiah. I like Jeremiah. He's a ball baby, right? He cried a lot. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. But I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go." He was 17 years old. "And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." That was a promise to Jeremiah. I mean, can you imagine 17 years old and all of a sudden the manifestation, God manifests himself before you and says, "I'm going to call you a prophet." I mean, we don't know what he was doing. Was he praying? Was he just going about his day? What was Jeremiah doing? I don't know, but the word of the Lord came to him. And God brought such revelation to him and says, "I knew you before you were even born." I would submit to you that the Lord knew you before you were born. I would submit to you that he has sent you in this earth, that he knew what you were supposed to do. I would submit to you that he wants to speak to you just like he spoke to Jeremiah. He wants to clarify who you really are. He wants to identify who you are in him. It says that our life is hidden in what? In Christ Jesus. It's hidden in there. Means we need to seek it sometimes. Are you seeking your identity? Or you think you've already arrived. I thought I did years ago. Oh, I know who I am. I didn't know who I was at all. I had to find out. You know, some of us are good at a lot of things. You've got multi-talents. You can do a lot of things, but you may not be great at all things, because God wants to put you in your specific calling and your specific identity. I've pastored a few churches. I can do it. I'm not great at it because I don't care about people that come up to me, don't want to come. It's great. Fine. We won't miss you. I'm not trying to attract you. I'm trying to teach you. I'm not trying to tickle your ears. You see, but in terms of what I'm supposed to do, it took me a while to find that sweet spot. And that's okay. So if you're not there yet, maybe you're trying to find your sweet spot. But your ministry, God wants to release like a river out of you. And when you find that sweet spot of who you are, then the Spirit of God will give you unction. You'll find out that the gifts of the Holy Spirit will start to move through you. Maybe you weren't even aware of it. They're moving through you right now. But that's his desire. So, Jeremiah had this audience with the Lord. And this in verse 9 says, "Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth." Here's the parameters of his anointing. "See, I've appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." What a powerful anointing was on Jeremiah. So the words that came through Jeremiah was going to affect nations, not just in that time, but also in the future. And God promised him, "I will deliver you. I will deliver you from the people." And so Jeremiah, from this point on, he starts to operate in the office of a prophet. And it's interesting because Jeremiah, you know, he had to say things. Like, you're going to have to say things. You know, before Noah, remember Noah, he built that ark? He had to warn people. Ezekiel had to warn people.
Because Noah knew that the flood was coming. We know something's coming. We know the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is coming. He's coming back with fire in his eyes. He's not coming back, you know, as a little baby. Do you think that maybe that the Lord said that these, that it would be just like the days of Noah? I would submit to you, do you think that maybe we are Noahs? That maybe we are building an ark? That maybe we need to get people into that ark, that we need to warn them? That's why we need to pray for this boldness. We're not bold enough. That's why we're holding back. When we go walking out that door through our day, do we have the boldness to step out and confront people? I mean, not, you know, hey, you're going to hell. You might be that. I don't know. Maybe you got that ministry.
You're too sweet to say that. But you could if you had to.
Would you not say that to somebody if they need to hear that? I know you've said it. You're smiling back there. You want that ministry back there? I see you back there. Yeah, you want that ministry. But seriously, you might have to tell somebody something they don't want to hear. You know, when you get, in fact, some of you in here have been trained like that. I can see it just by the Spirit right now. Some of you have been trained like that. The difficult people that you've had to deal with, you've learned how to confront. You don't like it, but you'll do it. Amen? Sometimes we need to confront people. But also sometimes people just need a word of encouragement or a word of peace or maybe need healing, whatever it might be. But man, when you get full up and you've got the boldness on top of the fullness, you can't keep it in. It just pours out. So he had the parameters of anointing he had. See, I have appointed you this day to over the nations and over the kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. These are specific things that the Lord gave Jeremiah in his anointing. God has given us. We have the anointing of God. It's permanently within us. It's in us to teach us concerning all things. That's what it says in 1 John. But also it's specific in nature. You and I both have a sphere of authority. And we need to get familiar with that. We need to recognize it. And we need to use it. The biggest thing that you and I are getting attacked with is distraction. We're distracted. We're not focused at times. God has a way of getting me focused. You don't want that to happen to you. It's not a good thing to have him adjust you at times. I mean, it is a good thing in a sense. But you ever know my child, my son, you know, when he's not paying attention, I have to call him 3 or 5 or 6 times just to get his attention because he's sitting there looking at his phone playing a game on it. And, you know, by the 5th time, you know, I get a little irritated. I say, hey, put that down. And I go, okay, that's mine now. You got his attention. Put that thing in my pocket. And all of a sudden, I go, I'm not going to give this back to you until you do what I just asked you to do. Now go brush your hair. Why are you telling me? And he goes, brushes his hair. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit is watching us right now, then we get distracted and all of a sudden he takes something from us? And all of a sudden, boy, we're just... You see, we have to stay focused. You don't want to go through that, believe me. But he will do it. Why? Because he loves you, A, and B, you have a mission. You cannot escape it. You have the training harness of God on you, whether you know it or not. You're in a war, whether you know it or not. Ecclesiastes says there is no discharge from this warfare. So it's like you're being dropped into a hot zone, you don't even know it. So you need to be aware of that, because these spirits that are in this nation right now are rising up, they're in people, and they're crying out and trying to take over. And what's the church going to sit back and complain about? You can't vote that stuff out, by the way. I'm just telling you that. You can't vote. God's already voted, by the way. He puts up kings and takes down kings. He's already voted. I'm not telling you not to vote. Don't run out of here and say, I didn't say that to you, okay? I'm just telling you that he's already voted. And I'm telling you that the church has got to start to stand up with the power of God within it and say, no, nope, we're not having that here. And saying the truth. And when they hear the truth, well, how are they going to react? They're going to come at you. That's how they're going to react. And we're going to read about that tonight, because you need to be prepared for that. That's part of the territory. And one of the reasons why people don't advance in Christianity is because they don't want the friction. They don't want the fire to come back up. They are people pleasers. They think, well, I'll just sneak up and be kind of sweet. And that's a method. But sometimes, saints, it's got to be the word of the Lord coming out of your mouth. And the word of God is like a hammer, believe me. It cannot be crossed. It cannot be stopped. What he sends his word into will happen. And Jeremiah knew that, and he experienced that from 17-year-old up. Amen? Let's go to Jeremiah 15, and we're going to get a good example of Jeremiah here, of how God uses him, but also what he had to deal with. And I want you to hear this, because these are some of the things that you're going to encounter in your ministries, and you want to be prepared, okay? But don't forget one thing. Remember that when Jeremiah first heard the word, when the word of the Lord came in first, God promised him that he would deliver him, and would protect him. He promised him that. He promised him that. So don't forget that. Now, 15 verse 1 says, even the Lord said to me, even through Moses and Samuel, were to stand before me, my heart would not be with this people. Send them away from my presence and let them go. And he was talking about Moses and Samuel. They would intercede for the nation of Israel because God wanted to wipe them out all the time. He was frustrated with them. And so here he tells Jeremiah, tell them to go away from my presence and let them go. And it shall be that when they say to you, where should we go? Then you are to tell them, thus says the Lord, those destined to death, and those destined for the sword to the sword, and those destined for the famine to the famine, and those destined for captivity to captivity. I will appoint over them four kinds of doom, declares the Lord, the sword to slay, the dog to drag off, the birds of the sky, and the beast of the earth to devour and destroy. I will make them an object of horror among the kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh and the son of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, for what he did in Jerusalem. And I will, verse 7 says, I will winnow them with a winnowing fork and the gates of the land. I will bereave them of my children. I will destroy my people. They will not repent of their ways. That's a heavy word. Now you got to think, you got to put yourself in Jeremiah's shoes. He's got to go tell people this. And how they're going to have a reaction. So can you imagine that being in your word, in your mouth, and you got to go down to the state house, and there's a crowd down there doing some kind of celebration, and you get up on the mic, and you tell everybody there what he just said. That's one against thousands. So, I'm saying this to you because I want you to get a picture of the type of boldness you and I have got to have for the power of God to come through us and the dimension of what he wants to do in these last days. And when you get a picture of that and the reality of that, it changes everything, because now you recognize how you're really being trained and how evangelism really starts in the belly of a believer. Amen? So, read on here. Now, Manasseh was a bad guy, okay? You read about him. The reason why God was so mad is what he did is he reestablished the shrines when he became king. He became king at 12 years old. And I don't know when he made these decisions, but he said that he reestablished the shrines, which is a place for people to gather around and worship their gods. It says that he restored the worship of Baal and Asherah and in the temple. The temple of God. Can you imagine that? I mean, Manasseh, he must not have believed God, because he's just doing stuff just do it. It's like people today, they don't believe God anymore. They just do it. They think that they can just do these things and nobody's watching. And if you hear them, they don't believe in God anymore. They say, he doesn't exist. It's just a fantasy. I mean, really, there are more and more people in this country are becoming like that. Because they've never been to a church, and the church they've been to is dead anyway. There's no power. There's no presence. So they don't believe there's a God. That's why we carry the presence of God around. And they'll encounter that presence whenever you go around, because you are the modern day ark. And when you walk around, you're carrying the presence of God around. It contaminates everything around you. I think about that a lot. Whenever I walk in a store, I'm thinking that. And I just like, I look to like look at people's faces, and then all of a sudden, well, they might look at me or whatever. I might have a word or whatever. I'll sneak up behind a guy and say, look, God told me to tell you, you're about to have a breakthrough. Thank you for telling me that. Oh, thank you, thank you. I mean, just stuff like that. You turn it on. It's as easy as that. It really is. It's recognizing the person of Jesus inside of you. It's acknowledging him. He's inside of us for a reason. It's more than just going through our day. We're carrying the presence of God, just like they did in the ark. You have such an impact on people. You really, really do. You have carried the presence of God. You, that person at work that gave you such a hard time, carry the presence of God tomorrow. You might not even have to say anything. I have seen the Lord deliver people where demons came out of them, and I did nothing. I was just there and watched it. I worked in Epworth Children's Home for 3.5 years and watched the Lord just deliver one after another child who was sexually abused. This one child came in one time. His name was Shane. I'll never forget it. Nobody could control this kid. He was little. He wasn't even a big guy, but he wouldn't take anything off anybody. I mean, the biggest guy could just slap him down. He would just get in his face anyway, and the teacher couldn't control him or whatever, and she'd always send him to my office because I was the facilitator. And don't want that job because it means you do everything, okay? So it was a campus school. They couldn't go into the public school because the kids were out of control. So she'd send him to my office, and he had a bad day one day, and he was losing it or whatever, and I had to kind of hold him down so he didn't hurt himself. And so, and in that process, he goes, Mr. Sherrod, will you just pray for me? And I love that kid. You know, I love them all. It was something that the Lord did through me, because you can't fake that. I mean, they knew if you loved them. They knew. And the power of God hit this little guy, and I'll never forget that, because the way he said it. Would you just pray for me, Sherrod? See, the presence of God did that. And the presence of God changed that little young kid. He went back into his classroom, and he got Green Days from that point forward, and he ended up going back into public school. You're carrying the presence of God. It has unlimited capabilities. We only limit him by our belief. We only limit him because, oh, I'm so bad, I got to get really holy for God to move through me. Well, good luck with that. Amen. So busy kicking yourself down, looking in the mirror, drinking out of your own reflection. You don't get real far like that. Self-analyzation is a killer. Amen? I'm not saying don't judge yourself in a good sense, but you know what I mean. You get that point, and all of a sudden you can't lift, you know, 2 pounds because you're so much down on yourself because you made mistakes in your past or whatever it might be. But the body of Christ, we've got to get over that stuff. Anyway, let's read on here. So Manasseh, he restored the worship of Baal and Asherah. Sacrifice, human sacrifice. Asherah was the god of fertility. They sponsored the Assyrians, an astral cult, which is astrology, throughout Judah. And just to add on that, he made his son pass through the fire. He practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, and consulted spiritists and mediums, thinking he could just get away with it. What do they call that? Roosters come home to roost. Is that what they say? Something like that? Well, that's what happened. So now you understand why God was a little bit upset. And so Jeremiah had to deliver this word. So after he delivers this word, he sits there and all these people are coming against him. And it says in verse 10, woe is me, my mother, that you have borne me as a man of strife and as a man of contention to all the land. I have not lent, nor have men lent money to me, yet everyone curses me. So he was being railed against. He was being, deliver a word like that, man, Think of that. Because his anointing was that powerful. And apparently the people knew that. It says Samuel, none of his words dropped down. It says Samuel that way feared him when he came to the town. Because the word of God was in him so strongly. And so Jeremiah had a word over nations. So the words that came out of his mouth happened. They came to pass. They were specific in nature of what God was going to do. Verse 15 says, "You know, Lord, remember me, take notice of me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. Do not, in view of your patience, take me away. Know that for your sake I endure reproach. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by your name, O God of hosts. I did not sit in the circle of the merrymakers, nor did I exalt. Because of your hand upon me, I sat alone, for you filled me with indignation. Why has my pain been perpetual and my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you indeed be to me like a deceptive stream with water that is unreliable?" So he's in a world of hurt. He cares more about the people and what they're doing to him, and because it's so intense, he began to question whether God would deliver him or not. He began to question, you know, his whole role or his whole job because of the persecution. He didn't want that in his life. And so he's being honest, and that's one thing that's a true mark of a prophetic ministry, is being honest and faithful before the Lord. So he's being honest. He's just not like he can even hide this from the Lord, because the Lord would know it anyway, right? So it's interesting that God answers him, but he answered him in verse 11, but he continues to go on. Verse 11 said, Lord says, "Surely I will set you free for the purposes of good. Surely I will cause the enemy to make supplication to you in a time of disaster and a time of distress." In other words, when the enemies were going to come to them after and ask for him his services, you know, because things were happening to them. So he's telling him that, but he continues on. Has you ever had God speak a word to you, and you read the Bible, and you kind of get assured because, you know, you're going through something, and you read it, and it just jumps out, and it's God talking to you, but then, like, a couple hours later, you're right back where you were talking about the Lord, and you know, well, you know, Lord, you know, it's like you forgot he just spoke to you. Well, anyway, God has to give a response to him. So he does that. I'm reading this out amplified in verse 19 because I like the way it reads. So last thing in verse 18 that Jeremiah says, "Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you indeed be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail or are uncertain?" So the Lord answers him. It says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord to Jeremiah, if you return and give up this mistaken tone of distrust and despair, then I will give you again a settled place of quiet and safety, and you will be my minister. And if you separate the precious from the vile, cleansing your own heart from unworthy and unwarranted suspicions concerning my faithfulness, you shall be my mouthpiece. But do not yield to them. Let them return to you, not you to the people." Now, isn't that interesting? So God rebukes him. He says, if you return, if you give up this distrust of me, the suspicion of my unworthiness, this is a very important lesson for us as ministers. Because we really don't want to have the luxury of questioning whether he will deliver us or whether he will take care of us. Because every attack, everything from the enemy is coming at you right now, I guarantee you, it is in that arena. Because there's something, or maybe it's a dream, maybe it's a vision, maybe you're okay, you're at peace, but there's something you're trying to aspire to, whatever it might be, but you can't be suspicious about God. Because what he has spoken, he will do.
So get to that place, at least in the sense of understanding what I just said tonight, at least in the sense of cognitively getting it, because that is a step. But then walk out and recognize and realize the areas that the enemy is pushing hard on you right now. That's where it needs to be applied. You see, that's the training harness of the Holy Spirit. And God says, when you get rid of that stuff, you'll be my mouthpiece.
Mouthpiece of God. I remember I had a prophecy over me, said I would be the mouthpiece of God. I wasn't any more the mouthpiece of God that day. I mean, I walked out of that with that press, I'm the mouthpiece of God. I had no idea about what I was entering into in my training. Well, I'm the mouthpiece of God. But don't you know I'm the mouthpiece of God? I tried that at home with my wife. Yeah, I tried that at home with my wife. That went over real well. Well, look, God, why don't you go sit over there and I'll talk to you a little bit.
But seriously, God wants to be in our mouths. And when you know, when the word of the Lord comes through you and you get to a place where you are just, you're going to deliver that word, you're as faithful as Domino's Pizza. We have more faith in Domino's Pizza than we do in God sometimes. We'll call up, you know they're going to bring it. It's going to come. But so we'll sit there and pray to God, and it's like, I don't wonder if it's going to come. You know, almost like you have to have that tracker that Domino's has. You look at it and see, oh, they put it in the oven. You took it out for delivery, and you're watching that tracker. So when you bring your things before the Lord, maybe you need to ask, hey, can I have a tracker? Can I see that? I mean, you can see how that's happened in your life, though.
It comes right on time. Not too early, not too late, just right on time. Just like that song says. Yeah. You want that to happen? Brother, you got it, you don't know it. Amen. You know, so good.
I want to encourage you, brother. You've been encouraging me. I just see a real hunger. It's a real hunger God's put inside of you. You know, I see God just taking you inside, building you up. You know, it's like you're under an arm. We see this cartoon called Popeye, and when he drank spinach, man, that guy was strong. And God's giving you a diet. It's like God's sending you the raven. It's like Elijah. He ran. He was so worn out, and he wanted to quit. But God sent the ravens and strengthened that guy. And man, I tell you, he got up and he ran. And that's exactly what God is doing in your life. He has strengthened you because you've got a call in your life, brother. Yeah. I mean, you are an evangelist that is going to go on fire and you're going to lead many people to the Lord. And you know it. God put that in you some years ago and now it's going to come to pass. You're going to leave this place strengthened because the Holy Spirit has spoken to you tonight and he's dropped inside of you with such fire and such strength that you will not be the same again and you will not return. You will not go back because you are the one that is focused on television. People have argued about that problem with you, but you know what? That is not a problem. That is how God is using you, like an arrow being shot out from the Lord, and you're going to hit the mark, and you're going to hit the floor running as you're going to leave here tonight. And brother, I'm excited about the people you're going to bring to the kingdom of God because there's a boldness inside you. And God says, I'm not going to leave you alone yet. I'm going to give you a working gift tonight. I'm going to give you the gift that he needs. God's going to do it many different ways through you. And God's made of you rivers. And you're going to be one you're going to love the unloved. And that God has been moving you to compassion. God, it's all in my spirit. I see you like looking at people and seeing, man, they need something. They need this. They need that. That was the beginnings of the moving of compassion. And God's going to take that to a new level. And you're going to feel the hurt inside of people. And you're going to answer that call. And there's a restoration that's going to go in your life. God's going to recover some things that have been stolen and taken. Amen? But just know this, that he loves you so much. And he surely loves you. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is so good.
Praise Jesus. God is so good. So Jeremiah, he got to the place where he returned to the Lord. And the Lord promised him that, if you read on, it says, God, I'm going to make you a fortified wall. So because he returned and he repented, that fortified wall came back. And see, the thing about it is, we need to be aware of that wall that is around us, that wall of protection. We walk in the secret place of the Most High God. He protects us, and he delivers us
from a multitude of problems. And believe me, his hand is not too short. And some of you, I look around here and I see some of you, and you're doing good. You're swimming, you're treading, but you're still, you got your head still up. And you're still going. Amen. Amen. I mean, just like Paul, remember Paul's storm? The ship broke up, but he swam to shore. Amen. That was his miraculous. But Jesus' storm was different, right? Paul was in the will of God. Jesus was the will of God. Was he not? And Jesus slept as the storm was going on. Amen? And I want to tell you, you can sleep during the storm. You can sleep during the storm. I know because I've experienced it recently. I slept so good. I mean, I was thinking about it, but it didn't bother me. I slept all night long. It was great. You can sleep during the storm. And if you're in that storm, when you get waked up, guess what? You can rebuke it. But if you're in the storm that Paul was in, and Paul was in a storm because of somebody else's bad decision, was he not? Remember he told the guy on the ship, said, hey, don't keep going, this is going to be a shipwreck. The guy said, I'm not listening to him. Amen? But he did listen to him eventually. And then you got Jonah's storm. Jonah was running away from God. Wanted to take a cruise, wanted to enjoy his life. But you know what? The thing about Jonah, you need to hear this tonight, is that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. He had no choice. God doesn't send his word to return to him void. So if the word of God is put inside of you, it's going to happen. Just know that. You know, Jonah got out of his storm. He survived his storm because God sent a fish. I don't know if that's the best way to get to your destination, but sometimes we're in fishes. I see a couple Jonahs over here. Amen? But now you're out. And you know what? When Jonah was spit out of that fish, he was different. I don't know if he was bleached white by the digestive juices of the fish or what it was, but when he got out of the fish, then when he spoke that word, that was the greatest prophetic move that I read about in the Bible. A whole city repented. Amen? So that evangelistic word that God has placed in your mouth is going to have that kind of results. So you might as well just surrender. Get used to it. You're a godly woman. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? I'm going to keep coming at you until you get it. Amen? Until you just agree with me. Amen? Because it doesn't matter. Because you are. That's who you are. And you're going to do it. I'm telling you, sister, you're going to do it. Amen. You need such an encouragement. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So there's something else. I'm my brother back here. I'm going to give you a word of encouragement. Amen? That was so good. You know, people that are good at what they do, at their trade, whatever they do, I see excellence. If I coached the university, I would recruit you in a second. Because you would do whatever you're asked to do. You don't do things halfway. You don't like people who don't do things, that do things halfway. You will complete the job. God gives you an assignment and you'll complete it. Amen? You're like a minuteman. I see God using you just like that. He will speak a word to you and you go and you'll do it. Amen? He's opening up your ears to hear it in a much clearer way. Amen? Because you know God is right. You have seen the provision of God. You've seen God rescue you. You've seen God establish you. But he wants to take that dream out of the business, wherever you're involved in. But he wants to, if God give you an idea about a business, I don't know what it is, but he's going to take you to a new level. Because he's blowing his wind on it. And in your mind and in your heart, it's like you don't want to escape. You just want to get it done. And I believe God is going to lead you out of this place. Not that you're in complete despair, but there's a little bit of there. Amen? So God is going to lead you out of there. Amen? And you're going to be so thankful. And brother, when people get around you, they're going to know that God's hand is on you in a mighty way. Because you're going to be walking in a great amount of peace. The peace beyond understanding. It says that when we come before the Lord, we can't come anxiously. We can't come with anxiousness. We can't come with doubt. We shed ourselves with that. Then we come boldly into his throne. And we make our requests then. And the requests that's going to come out of your mouth
are going to be the desires of your heart, but the desires of your heart are the desires that he put inside of you. So they're really his desires. And God is going to heal you, brother. You know, our past, everybody has different pasts. And you have fought your way out. You literally have fought your way out to get to where you are today. And that warrior that's inside you is all your, that all was just your training. And you have learned so much through that. And that's why God's hand is on you so heavy. And that's why he wanted me to tell you that he loves you and he loves the lion in you. Amen? And he was there for you and you cried out to him and he answered you. But now he says, now I'm going to take you to a new level. Amen? And he's going to bless you. I see the increase on every side and every hand. You have the treasures of Christ Jesus inside you and you're going to start to share them wherever you go. Tonight is your night. It's a divine appointment. And God is changing the season. The south wind has now come. You've had the north wind in your life for a long period of time, blowing against you and blowing against you, but you kept on going. God says, now I'm sending the south wind. And the south wind causes things to grow. And God's going to grow it. Amen. God is so good. Thank you for coming tonight. What a blessing. That was so good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. She's looking at her phone. I'm not sure what she's seeing there. Amen. God text me. I'm just kidding. I'm just picking on you, man. I'm just picking on you. Now, so I want to give you a word of encouragement. That's so good. You know, I don't know if you've got kids or whatever, but I see you as an intercession. I see you as a like a mother's hand. You know, now Jesus, when he said that, came to Jerusalem, how long I wanted to gather you together. And God has given you that kind of an intercessory ministry where you want to see things come together. You want to see things happen. You're not satisfied. You're unsatisfied, basically. Okay? But you know, David's army was that way too. Remember, they came to David, they were discontented, they were this and that, and they came to David, and they were transferred or translated or whatever, developed into the mighty men of David. Amen? But I believe in your prayers and intercessory that God is going ahead and target things to bring things together. And God's gifting you that way. You know, the gift of hospitality is very important to God. Did you know that? Amen. I don't know if you're a good cook or whatever. You look like a great cook. But I'm just saying, is she a good cook?
Yes.
Okay, so praise the Lord. Got that one right. Let's get that out of the way. Amen. But the gift of hospitality is so important to the Lord. And God's going to give you hospitality ideas that are connected to spiritual things. And they're very powerful. You understand that? It's powerful. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah was judged on that? They didn't have the gift of hospitality, obviously. Amen? But that gift is going to be used in the days to come in a very powerful way. I see you involved in gatherings where there's things that need to be organized or take place or something along those lines. God's going to use you in a great dimension. Amen. Amen. The enemy has come against your mind at times. You see a sorrow. It's like it hits you at times, and you resist it, you know, and then it comes back, and then you resist it, and it comes back this way, and you resist it. You know how to resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Amen. And you know that. The God's going to bring you to a place. You know, you said, take every thought captive, right? And the thing is, it's not completely hooked you, but it penetrates where it's in your mind for a period of time. God is going to quicken you tonight where the power of the Holy Spirit will immediately identify where it is coming through at. Because sometimes we have cracks in our you know, that kind of, the enemy kind of works through that. It's usually from the past, and it's usually something we haven't completely forgotten yet. Amen? That's why we have the power to forget sometimes. To let go of something that influences us today. Because I've had things happen years ago that affected me tremendously. But God had to weed it out of me in a way to where I began to understand and perceive it from his angle. Because I wasn't looking at it from his angle, I was looking from my angle. And I really believe that that's a word for you, that God is going to change your perception of how you're viewing something from the past. And that's going to set you free. Amen? God said, not that you're a man, not a bad person. Don't take that wrong way. I just had to identify that. Amen. God's so good. Amen. Patty, Ralph, Lewis, you guys got anything? I take all your prophecies again, Lewis.
No, you guys.
I want to share with the young guy that you were talking to about healing. I see you going down the street and seeing somebody without an arm. And all of a sudden you see a picture of an arm growing in. And you declare it and it comes forth. I see you seeing somebody without a leg and just walking by and declaring it and it coming back. I see you seeing people's hearts that are damaged and speaking a word and their heart is healed. Knowing somebody is deaf and speaking, you're going to be healed, and right then they're healed. People that are mute, I just see you creatively with your mouth, not just having a gift of healing, but seeing somebody that has a need and it being fulfilled.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's so good. My brother here, I want to give you another word of encouragement. You're so happy tonight. I just look at you, man. You're just beaming. Amen. You just got to, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When I share that about joy is a power, that's kind of your ministry in some ways.
I just see God doing a work inside you where that joy comes out in more of a power. But actually, when you lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. But the word that's going to come out of your mouth is a word of joy. Amen. It's an encouragement. God has made you an encourager. He's molded and designed you to encourage other people. You're a support. You support people, support causes, support this. God has made you that way. You know, a pillar. God's made you a pillar. But when you look at what's been going on in your life, it's like you feel like it's like you're the potter. You know, he's the potter and you're the clay. And he has just crushed you into this place to where he's forming. It's like it's not that you're in a straitjacket, but you can't really go this way or that way. He's got you in where he wants you. He's streamlining you. He doesn't want you to overburden yourself with this or that, or you know, or get into five different projects. He wants to make you more singularly minded in your vision. And that's what's occurring. So just know that you can identify how God is doing that through you. And the reason being is because you are a support. You're to bring joy to people's lives. People that come around you are going to sense it in you, but you're going to be releasing it to people. And you're going to be attracted to those who have mental problems. Amen. And you're going to be right in the middle of them, time and time and time again. And you're going to even say, God, but please send me somebody normal. They're not going to be normal. Okay? They're not. They're going to be woke. Amen. To the very people that are upsetting you the most is what God says, I send you to them now. Stop complaining to me. You are the solution to the problem. Amen. He loves you so much. Boy, I am excited because I just see it. I see the joy bubbling up inside you, and it's going to change you. I mean, you know, you're going to be the one that leaps out of the bed. You're going to be the guy that's there like, man, just tone it down a little bit. You know, you're just way too happy. You know what I'm saying? It's like an extreme, you know? And I understand it now because in the woke arena, there's extremes. And now God's going to make you extreme. I'm excited about that.
Praise the Lord.
I've been praying for you. I don't even know who you are yet, but now you're here. It's my woke agent. Amen. God is so good. Amen. We can run some names at you. We'll make some appointments. God is so good. Also, too, in saying that, God's going to give you the gift of discerning the spirits. It's going to operate in your ministry in a greater dimension. You've had this happen before. It's come in the words of knowledge. This has actually come through the form of dreams. You've actually had them and not recognized that, because that's what it was. So next time you have that dream of that, you see individuals that don't look right or whatever, sometimes there's a spirit that you're dealing with, and you need to seek the Lord out in that. And God's going to give you the specifics. Amen. Because the sword he's going to put in your hand is going to hit the mark. It's a weapon. You know, his word is a weapon. Amen. But that gift of the certain spirit is going to function. In fact, I see it happening tonight. So just be encouraged. You know, you're like me. I love going to bed. I can't wait. What is going to happen in my sleep? You know, you can have a dream within a vision within a dream. I didn't know you could have that. I had a dream one time, and all of a sudden I found myself in a vision.
In this vision, I could feel everything. It was like I was here. I could feel it all. And I was in this building,
And it was a communist building. And I knew it because I, you know, travel a lot. I knew it because the cement was the way it was, and the colors were blue and whatever. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like up against the wall here, and all of a sudden an earthquake hit. And I'm like, I'm going like this. And then I wasn't afraid or terrified or anything, but I go, man, I gotta get out of here because I'm on the bottom floor. And so I tried to go this way, and then it came that way. And I was like this. I couldn't move. And finally, I was able to move, and I got outside of this building. And as soon as I came out of that building, there was a lady next to me. I knew it was a woman, but I couldn't make her out. It's like she was light. And I grabbed her, and I pulled her out of this building. And as I came out, I looked, and all of a sudden, I found myself on this mound of dirt. It was like, you know, we built construction and down this dirt. And I'm at the top of this thing, and I think, I gotta get off this, because it's an earthquake. I'm gonna just go with this thing. So I turned around, I saw a cement slab up over that way. So I turned, I started running a cement slab, and as I turned, I looked over there, and these people were building this building that was about to collapse, and there were shadows, and they were on scaffolding, the shadows, just building this building. And I sat there and watched, man, they better get off that thing's gonna come down. And then I'm almost to the cement slab, and that was it. But I could feel everything. And that's what's gonna happen to religion. People are still doing it. And so these dreams that God's gonna move through you are gonna take sometimes forms of visions. So just be ready. Amen.
God is so good. I don't normally say, it's the first time I've shared that publicly.
So, believe it or not, it matter to me. Anyway, God said, there's one more person in here. I don't know who it is yet. I'm trying to figure it out. I've already got you so many times. I feel like I'd be repeating myself.
God is so good. I think, okay, it's my sister over there in the back.
Yes. California, number 6. That's you, amen. Yeah, that's so good. You know, I see the Holy Spirit teach you in the arena of patience. Amen. So everything that comes at you requires patience. Amen. In case you haven't noticed, okay? And so as you exercise godly patience, which is different, okay? God wants to show you, see, you're in a situation where you see, you know, you can see what's wrong. Right? That's real easy. You see something's wrong, you just need to know it. Okay? So that, in a sense, can make you kind of impatient, just seeing that same wrong thing all the time. But when you pray, you can pray and discern what's wrong here and go past what's wrong and see what God's going to do about it. But you still stay and pray. You don't stop. And then, after you see what God's going to do about it, then you go to the next level of discernment, which is empowerment, where you can do something about it. So take that approach towards the things that you're confronting, and you will see change. Amen? But if you don't get to empowerment, it's okay. You just stay on your knees. That just means God's taking care of it another way. And, you know, the enemy always tries to put us down, tries to make us sad, tries to make us see something like there's no way out, like how's this ever going to work? You know what I mean? And I just see God changing your perception. Where rather than seeing where the enemy works on that way, you're going to see the potential in something. And when someone has an idea or this or do this or do that, where you might be skeptical, now it's going to be, huh, I wonder if there's an opportunity in this. And you're going to see things in a different way. God's changing your perception. But not just the way that you see yourself, but also the way that you see others. God's going to show you the potential in other people. And when you see the potential in other people, you'll speak into that potential. That's the foundation of prophecy right there. You speak into potential in another individual. And that word is going to come out, is going to strengthen them and encourage them. I don't know if you're a teacher or you're in ministry to young kids or whatever it might is, but I just see that perception, just seeing the strength in somebody and just really giving them a word of encouragement. You have a strength inside of you that you have held back on for many years. God says, I'm going to come out of you like a lion. I just see you growing and building one person up, another person up. In fact, I see this happening too, and this coming next week. You're going to have opportunities where you would normally not say anything, or would you normally be skeptical. I see you stepping in and speaking a word of encouragement and comfort and building the person up in edification. And you're going to be amazed. And the people, I just see people say, where did that come from? It came right from the heart of God. And that's where you've got a heart to stand for God. You really do. You love the Lord. You pray to Him. He comforts you. And He cares about you so much. And He hears your prayers. Amen. I don't know if you're praying for a loved one or a family person or whatever, but I see someone coming to the kingdom of God. I want to encourage you that your prayers have been heard. Amen. And His arm is not too short. And the prodigal son can run as far as they want, but they've been boxed in by the Holy Spirit right now. They're going to come to the kingdom of God. And you're going to do witness it. Amen. God's so good. Let's all stand our feet. Praise the Lord.
Amen. God is so good. Yes.
The gentleman that was up here, your name is?
Garrett.
Garrett, I really feel like that the Lord wanted to encourage you in this area. At the very last of our time, I didn't know the songs. I was doing everything I could to get into it. But at the very last of the time, you just began to depart and just call for God's presence. And I was sitting right there. And I want you to know this because I've never experienced this before. I wondered which one of these women had on the strong perfume that I was sensing. And I sort of sniffed around and none of them did. What actually was taking place at that moment, I'm absolutely convinced, as you were just before the Lord crying out for His presence, calling for His presence. You wanted His presence. The aroma, the fragrance passed right, and it just lingered. I thought, I started smelling what I was wearing. I looked around. I looked at my wife, the two ladies in front of me, and I was literally, I was sniffing because I wondered if it was actually, there was a fragrance in here. I don't know if anyone else in this room noticed that. Did anybody else sense the fragrance of the Lord? Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to expect that as we gather, that that's one way that His presence is revealed in this atmosphere. Not saying it always happens, but I wanted to encourage you, brother. I feel like the Lord is wanting to do something in your ministry, how you minister and what you're doing. That last several minutes, all I did, I was just standing, appreciating God's presence, and suddenly this fragrance just drifted by, and I thought, that is the fragrance of the Lord.
Amen.
And I want to just encourage you. I feel like there's a work that God's wanting to do in your future ministry that's going to be more into that kind of an expectation for His presence. You were calling out, we were, and God showed up with His fragrant aroma.
Amen. Amen. He's a rose of Sharon. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank You for what You've done here tonight. What a blessing it is to be in Your house. Lord, I release Psalm 91 over everybody that's come here tonight, Lord God. I ask You to commission Your war angels to surround and protect them. I ask You to fill them up to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, Lord God, and I bind the powers of darkness away from them. Lord, I thank You that Your mission is becoming so much more clear in all of our hearts as You begin to prepare Your body for a great revival on this earth. A wave of healing of the nations, Lord God, but also, Lord, a wave of warning. Lord, that we be used as Noah, Lord God, as He warned those, Lord. But also, Lord, as we gather together and form that ark of protection, that ark of safety, Lord, that these that are here tonight, Lord God, will begin to collect and be able to reach out to those works prepared before the foundation of the world that are around them, Lord, to bring those that are so deceived and bring them into Your kingdom. Lord, You draw them. And Lord, You send us. And we thank You for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you need any ministry or anything, there's still plenty of, I'm here to pray, and others are too. And this is also being recorded, by the way, so you can get your words on our website. It's tgosc.com. tgosc.com.
I have something to share with you. I see the Lord giving you keys, brand new keys. And he says, but I'm also giving you a key to close some things in the back. He said, I just see you snapping these things off. And God says, I said I was going to order your steps. I'm ordering your steps. He said, but I'm giving you new keys to open up relationships, new keys for places to go, new keys of new thought. He said, I'm going to change some things in the way you do it. He says, not that you're an old wineskin. He says, he's not saying that at all. He said, but I'm bringing a change to the ministry, and it's going to be a fire upon you. You already have a fire inside of you, Tom, but God says, I'm bringing a fire to you like you've cried out for. I'm bringing a change inside of you like you've cried out for. I just see God doing something so new, but I also see him giving you several keys for the future, and one key to go and close, and it's going to close a lot of doors behind you. I don't know if it's relationships or things that people have said or whatever, but I just know that God is doing something so profound in you and putting a fire in your belly that's going to be like a raging fire, and you're not going to be able to put it out. No one's going to be able to put it out, because sometimes you've felt stuff and no. And the Lord said, you're not going to do that anymore. He said, you're going to hear me, and you're going to run after it, and it's going to engulf you. So that's it.
Praise Jesus. Thank you. I received that. Received that. Did you receive it?
Received your fault.
No, I received that. It's just so much. So weird, because I was almost going to call you up. You hit a... I took that as a word of correction, because it was correcting it. You're talking about the keys behind as a word of correction. Mm-hmm. And I felt like you had a word of correction that you were going to bring. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was to be. But no, there was an adjustment in that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To close the doors behind, because, you know, it's the things I've been talking to the Lord about. But, man,
it's one key,
you.
Though. It's like there's several keys, but it's one key that's going to close it.
Closing off.
But he's giving you three keys. I don't mean that, just three things to open stuff up. He's already gone and opened it. We're just going to have to hear him and do it.
Okay. Oh, you want me to try that? Yeah, I got some discouragement tonight, and I need to hear the Lord for an area of my life and my workplace. And when you're discouraged, that you can't do anything.
Okay. Lord, I just thank you for my sister. What a blessing she is. She's a real gentle heart. She's very sensitive, Lord. And the sensitivity, not just the spirit, but the sensitivity of the gentle. I put my hand on just the discouragement is still, it's like a wound that's not completely healed up, you know, and in an indirect way, when you're confronted with just different situations, that wound is still hurting you in some ways. And so, well, I just release your healing power, my sister, because by the power of your spirit, I close these doors of God. Or the power to forget all this. I release my sister and the power that she uses to wash away our sins. I'm going to give her this ability, not just to this object of God, but actually manifest it in her life. And she can take that as a torch to other people who are God. That would be a gift for her, but she would actually be able to prepare to be able to impart it. Lord, I just thank you that sometimes when we look at situations and we feel overwhelmed and not quite sure how to deal with them, Lord God, really what we need is specific equipment. And so, Lord, she needs some skills here, skills of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just call those out of her right now. You know what they are, you know what she needs. She's gifted us. The gift to communicate, the gift to understand. The gift to listen, and the gift to be able to speak the word of faith, and that is nothing to encourage.
when those that would hear the words wouldn't hear, I thank you, Lord, that you opened their ears. So, Lord, I just lift up my sister.
This blessing of God that is on your life and this larger return. This blessing quiets the voices of accusation. This blessing, if despair comes in, hope arises from this blessing and destroys despair. This blessing makes a road for you, and you can be very quiet and be very still. Without saying a word, the blessing of the Lord will make a way for you and will give you favor with other people. The blessing of the Lord heals your heart and your soul. For whom God has called, no one can turn away. The blessing of the Lord breaks every curse over your life.
Yes.
The blessing of the Lord speaks life, joy, and peace. You are under the umbrella of the blessing of God Almighty. And no enemy can stand against that blessing. In the morning, you will feel this blessing upon your heart and your soul. In the name of Jesus, I break every heaviness, every weight that's come upon this woman by any source. And I cancel your power and command you to leave her in the name of Jesus. She belongs to the Lord. And take your hands off of her. She is the blessed one. And I thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, she releases forgiveness where it needs to be forgiven. I thank you, Lord God, that her emotions and feelings will line up with it. She'll just speak it. I have forgiven her. And Lord God, in that process of declaring it, then, Lord, the healing will come. And then, it's not based upon feelings or emotions. It's an act of her will. And she has set her will to do your will, God. And I thank you, Lord, for the word coming out of her mouth. And courage and strength in Jesus' name upon her soul and her mind. In the name of Jesus God. And now, Father, I thank you for peace. That all is well. Hear the word of the Lord. All is well. Peace. Be still. Put the atmosphere around you. Every way it works. And all is well. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Your mercies are new every morning. Thank you, God, when she steps her foot out of her bed in the morning. Your mercies flow upon her. Your goodness flows upon her. In the name of Jesus, you are blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take that to heart, sister. Amen. I hear you.
Thank you for being my brother and for praying for you. Whoa. Thank you.
Wow. Oh, it's a lot, right?
Well, you can do that like it is at the store. Thank you.